Hi, I'm Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, and welcome back to another episode of Breaking Bread, our streaming program right here on YouTube, where we bring you interviews with some of the movers, shakers, and decision makers of Long Island, not only within the hunger space, which is where we work, but in all different areas here on Long Island. And I'm so pleased today to welcome to the program my colleague and my friend, Meredith Michaels, who is the Chief Development Officer for Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Long Island. Meredith, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good, thanks.
You are looking wonderful in green, I must tell you.
Thank you.
I
have to represent our green color.
There you go. So I think when people hear Big Brothers, Big Sisters, they have an idea of what it might be because your organization has been around a very long time. Mm-hmm. But for people that are streaming this and watching it, what is Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and how long have you been doing it on Long Island?
So our core mission is very simple, one-to-one mentoring for children in need throughout the community. Like you said, a lot of people do know who we are because we do have a long-standing history. We are part of a national organization, but on Long Island, we've been here for over 45 years. Mm. And most of us, you know our organization because they see our trucks driving mm-hmm. all over Long Island sure. because our donation center is a big piece of what we do. But the core of who we are and our core mission is all about mentorship. So children in need throughout the community that want and need that one-to-one mentoring will come through our program, and we will provide various services, support, mm-hmm. guidance, events, and pair them up with a mentor to kind of navigate life with.
Talk a little bit about who these children are, where they come from, what are some of their needs that you can address through mentorship, and how do you make a match between the child and the mentor?
We get that question a lot, you know, where are the children coming from? How are they introduced to our program? And I sort of describe it as there really isn't a face for a child in need. They come from all walks of life. A lot of them are brought to us through referral-based systems from the schools. Mm-hmm. Parents or guardians learn about the program or maybe lived through the program as when they were children. And they represent all walks of life, all reasons for why they're there. But at the end of the day, they're really just looking for a friend, a consistent person to show up and be there for them. So when they come into our program, they are looking for somebody who will just spend that time with them. And, mm-hmm. you know, as simple as grabbing a slice of pizza and, you know, going to the park, riding bikes, helping, you know, study for a test, maybe doing a paint party together, or taking advantage of all the activities that we host in mm-hmm. our office locations. It's really just a time for two people to come together and share in memories and experiences together. And basically, children who are interested in joining our program, the most important thing for us is that all three people have to want to be there. So when I say the three people or individuals, I mean mm-hmm. the parent or guardian, okay. the child, and the mentor. All three of those groups have to work together. They all have to want to be there. Because mm-hmm. if any one group is forced or, you know, not as, you know, motivated to want to be right. part of the program, it's not going to work. They're not going to be fully committed. So we want to make sure that when a child is interested in our program mm-hmm. or a parent or guardian, that we're having those conversations to make sure they're there, they're committed, mm-hmm. and they want to be there for the right reasons. From there, we go through a vetting process and a matching process to make sure that we find the right fit in a mentor mm-hmm. for this child. It's a minimum of a few hours a month for a year. That's the minimum commitment. Mm-hmm. However, there are, you'll hear me use the terminologies bigs and littles. That mm-hmm. refers to mentors and mentees. Okay. And you'll hear me say match, and a match is a big and a little. Mm-hmm. So in order to be a match with somebody, you have to commit to that amount of time, and you're really just getting together a couple of hours a month for a year, but a lot of our matches are, you know, together for 5, 6, 7, 10 years mm. at college graduations, in weddings. Mm. I mean, the bond is really strong. Yeah. So it's a really incredible program to see, watch from its inception to see where the kids go and the evolution of the relationship between the big and the little.
You spoke about the vetting process, which I would imagine is very serious mm-hmm. because you're dealing with children.
Yep.
and you want to make sure that the mentor is someone who can have a positive impact on a person's life. But let's talk a little bit about the mentors. Mm-hmm. Where do they come from? Who are they? Do they bring specific skills that you're looking for, or the child and their family's looking for? Let's talk about who are the mentors.
Yeah. So I do have to mention that our greatest need right now are mentors, mm-hmm. and I will emphasize mentors, because mm-hmm. we have over 100 children on a wait list right mm-hmm. now in Long Island alone, and we need more male mentors that are interested in stepping up to the plate. So I want to mention that first, and then I'll sort of explain mm-hmm. what makes a mentor, right? And it's obviously someone who's committed to the cause and that they're committed to wanting to be there and show up for somebody, because a lot of these kids are lacking that consistency and reliability. So we want to make sure that it's a mentor who's committed to that right off the bat.
Absolutely.
And we have mentors that come from all background, all areas of industry, all professional experiences, all ages. So we don't really have a perfect mentor in what mm-hmm. we look for. We want someone who's committed on that level and someone who's willing to share their experiences or maybe experience new things together. So when they fill out the application to become a mentor, you know, they're certainly asking some of their history, some of, you know, what are their passions, what are their hobbies, what are their interests. And you're right, there is quite a vetting process, and you know, you hit the nail on the head. You're gonna be with a child one-on-one. You're picking them up, you're dropping them off, you're with them alone. We wanna make sure that we're doing our due diligence as an organization to ensure that they're safe, that this will be a great experience for everybody. Once they fill out this application and they get through the process, they're having the families and the children do the same thing so that we are matching appropriately with one another. You know, we want to make sure that you're going to have some like interests, mm-hmm. but that you're also going to maybe experience new things together. So you mm-hmm. may have someone that says, oh, I have a passion for hockey and I love the Rangers, and mm-hmm. maybe you like sports and basketball. So you have sort of a like interest that you can share in these things together, but it doesn't have to be that you like hockey and you like the Rangers mm-hmm. and I like hockey and I like the Rangers. Right. So we want there to be some differences. But you know, you go through the process and hopefully we're able to match you with a child that would be a good fit for you. And there's a lot that goes into that. There's mm-hmm. a whole curriculum that our program department follows that comes from a national organization. So we want to make sure we're doing it the right way so that when you are matched with your big and little, that it's long term and that it's going to work and that you're going to both get something out of it.
That's wonderful. How many children right now have mentors through your organization? You mentioned you had 100 children on a waiting list, but how many right now have mentors that they're able to have an ongoing relationship mm-hmm. with?
We have a little over 300 matches currently on Long Island, and that means they are in the program, they are matched with a big and a little, and they have the consistent, you know, interactions every month. And then there are a lot of, you know, wraparound services that we provide that aren't always calculated in that number. Mm-hmm. For example, we have a fabulous holiday program. It's called Holiday for Kids' Sake. And every single child in our program, as well as all of their siblings, get sponsored during the holiday season. So that's a lot more. We have a lot more mm-hmm. reach during certain times of the year. Mm-hmm. We held a community back-to-school drive. We've held coat drives. We've partnered with other organizations that are like-minded or, mm-hmm. you know, have a collaborative-minded spirit. So even though we have a little over 300 children directly in our program, the impact is much greater because we have a lot more reach and we're supporting the families in a bigger way than just the child that might be enrolled. Because mm-hmm. a lot of these families, they have other food insecurities, job loss. During COVID, obviously, that was a very challenging time for our families. Sure. So we felt it necessary to step up and support where we could. As a known, reputable nonprofit, we had a lot of support coming our way. So we felt that it was our job to put it right back out into the community. So 300 doesn't seem like a massive number for Long Island, but as I mentioned, we have over 100 mm-hmm. vetted, ready to go. We just don't have enough mentors to match them with. Mm-hmm. So even though I oversee fundraising and special events, and most people think I'm coming in to ask for the big checks mm-hmm. and the donations, I would actually much rather mentors at this point. That is what we need more than anything.
Well, that's good to know. You mentioned COVID, and we also have already established that you are the chief development officer. I would imagine that during the two and a half years of COVID, that it was quite challenging, as most nonprofits were being challenged to raise money. And you have certainly a very different type of program where what you do is based upon people coming together. And during COVID, as everybody knows, there was no coming together. There was, you know, separation by 6 feet or 10 feet or how long you wanted to separate for. But in your role as the Chief Development Officer, how challenging is it right now to raise money to support your mission?
Yeah, certainly that was a rough time for all nonprofits. And, you know, with those challenges came a lot of different opportunities that we had never explored before. We were able to pivot and provide virtual support. We changed some of our events. We changed the way we asked for funding support. And there was a lot of new funding that came in through it because there was just companies that didn't necessarily take a hit during that time and that were looking to step up in other ways. We still face a lot of those struggles as companies and individuals recover. I think a lot of people are still in that difficult time. So as an organization that really relies on fundraising support, it has been challenging to sort of keep people engaged and cultivated. But I think at the end of the day, and similar to your organization as well, like we're doing such good for the community. And so to go to people and say, do you want to help a child in need? That really isn't the hardest sell. It's just a matter of finding how can you help, what can you do to help, and it's not always going to start through the form of fundraising. Maybe they'll hold a clothing drive. Maybe they'll support our holiday program. And from there, because you can't help but feel the mission and the passion and you see what your support is providing, the money always comes and the support always comes because you do drink the Kool-Aid when you come to one of our events and you see the kids and you see the match interactions. It's pretty special. And people say, well, what more can I do? So I always say sometimes it's a little bit of a slow burn. It might start small and you hold a clothing drive for us, but you will want to do more. So I don't really rush it. I kind of let it simmer and happen organically. And we're very fortunate. We have a fantastic board. We have a great leadership council. And we have a really great mission with incredible, you know, deliverables that we're, you know, and metrics that we're showing the impact of mentoring and how it's literally changing the lives of children. So that helps when you're out there asking for support. People like to hear that these kids are being equipped for what life is after they're out of their homes and how are we preparing them for college and career readiness and financial literacy and the whole educational component that goes with that. That's all built into our program. It's not just fun mentoring. There's a lot of other resources that we provide, and there's a lot of companies that want to get behind us, behind that initiative. So having a lot to offer helps us engage a lot of support from the community.
If somebody was interested in applying to be a mentor, or if there was a family or an agency that had a young child in their, you know, program, how would they go about reaching out to Big Brothers and Big Sisters?
The easiest way is to visit our website, which is www.bbbsli.org, and you can learn all about becoming a mentor, enrolling your child. We have information sessions. We have really fabulous content on our social media channels right now. We're on all of them. Our handle is at bbbsli, and we have really great information that you can learn all about it. You can watch some of the events and get a feel for what it would be like to be in our program. But that's always where we tell people to start. And if you see anyone wearing a shirt or a hat, if you're at an event, just ask us. We love talking about our mission and our cause. And we're always looking to engage new people.
Wonderful. We have about 30 seconds left. And I really want to talk to you, our viewers and subscribers. This is such an important program. And it's so needed to be able to give of your time, to give of your talents, to mentor a child that may not have an opportunity for these types of relationships. You know how to donate. You know how to find information about it, you can't go wrong. Big Brothers and Big Sisters is a historic organization that has been doing exceptional work for more than four decades. And Meredith, we are very grateful that you joined us today. And we're grateful that you joined us today. And I also want to say that we're grateful to our sponsors at Cardworks, because with over 35 years of operating history, Cardworks is one of the largest managers and services of credit card and installment loan products. So if you need those types of services, get in touch with Cardworks. And until we see you next time right here on Breaking Bread on YouTube, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares. Go out there and take care of one another and do something good. We'll see you next time.